Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents A Heart to Trust by A.L. Brooks, narrated by Anastasia Whatley. Chapter 1. Morning, boss, Jenny called in the vicinity of Adrian's office as she threw her bag onto her own chair Thursday morning. Adrian smiled at her when she placed the still steaming coffee in front of her, along with a bag containing a croissant and a fruit cup.
Good morning. I'm going to miss this level of service after I move to California.
She sipped the coffee, then tapped her chin. I wonder if I can train Morgan to do this for me every day. Jenny snorted.
Good luck with that.
She pursed her lips. On second thought, she's so gooey over you, she probably would. Adrian blushed.
Probably.
She sat straighter in her chair. Anyway, enough of that. You, young lady, are a genius.
I am?
Yes. That idea you had to change the opening sequence in the WNBA film worked brilliantly.
You ran with it?
Jenny's heart thumped.
I did.
Adrian beamed at her. I saw the first cut last night, and I loved it.
Wow.
Indeed. Adrian leaned onto her elbows. You have a great mind and great ideas. I wish you'd have a little more faith in yourself. Her tone was gentle, but her gaze locked on Jenny's. Jenny's face heated and she shuffled her feet.
Thanks. I know you've said it a couple times, but...
What? Jenny shrugged.
I can admit I lack some self-confidence. And...
She blew out a breath. Given Adrian had opened the subject, maybe it was okay to say it.
And I guess I wasn't sure of my standing after the mistakes I made with the whole Morgan thing.
Adrian sat back once more. Okay, I can understand that. But honestly, that was all a blip. Since then, you've proved yourself to me time and time again. You can forget that chapter, okay? You should think about what your next steps will be. A small frown creased her brow. You know, longer term. You can't stay a PA forever. She cleared her throat. Well, I need to get on with some things. The dismissal was a tad abrupt, but Jenny was happy to leave the awkward conversation. She was always a little freaked out by people, especially Adrian, who told her to push for more. Pushing meant change. And Jenny didn't like change. In her experience, change usually came with big problems and heartache, and she had no desire to add those to her generally happy life. She shuddered as unwanted memories from a decade ago threatened to surface. No, change was bad, and her happy status quo was good. She was content working for Adrian, and pretty sure she'd be content working for whoever was brought in to replace Adrian at the end of the month. She took a step back. Okay, any changes to today's schedule I need to know about? Adrian didn't meet her eye. 1. Check your inbox. A mandatory company meeting at 4 this afternoon. Please move whatever you need to so you can attend. Adrian's voice carried a serious tone Jenny didn't think she'd ever heard from her before. Jenny's heart beat faster. She opened her mouth to speak, but Adrian held up a hand. Whatever you're going to ask, I can't tell you. She looked at Jenny, then looked away, licked her lips, and ran a hand through her short auburn hair. Please just make sure you attend, okay? Jenny's gut twisted, but she bit back her words and nodded before exiting Adrian's office. When she got to her desk, she took a moment to breathe deeply and try to calm her racing pulse. Whatever it is, I'll find out later. There was no sense in worrying over nothing. She hoped. She booted up her laptop and eased into her chair. While her computer did its thing, she sipped her coffee and nibbled her croissant. As soon as her email program loaded, the meeting request pinged onto the screen. All staff meeting, conference room A, 4 to 5 p.m., mandatory. Jenny swiveled in her chair and peered through the large glass window separating her workstation from Adrian's office.
Her boss had turned her chair so she faced away from Jenny toward the external window that looked out onto the Manhattan skyline. Her hands gripped the arms of the chair. What the hell was going on?
They said yes. Meet me and the girls at Limelight tomorrow night for a lot of alcohol. XXX.
Carl's text buzzed in as Jenny scooped up her phone to tuck it in her purse. The all-staff meeting was in 2 minutes, and she shouldn't be late, so although she was thrilled for her roommate and his big news, an appropriately gushing response would have to wait. It wasn't every day one of her closest friends managed to get a contract to sell his jewelry at Bloomingdale's. But she'd need more time than she had available now to congratulate him properly. She looked around for Adrian. She'd barely seen her since that awkward conversation in Adrian's office earlier in the day, which she didn't understand because Adrian's calendar showed her free all afternoon. Where had she disappeared to? Well, I'm not her keeper. She knows the meeting is now, so she'll have to get to it. Jenny swung back to her desk to lock down her laptop, for once having remembered to do so, and found Maxwell waiting for her. His body filled her cubicle. He wasn't overweight, just tall and broad and a little imposing on first meeting. Once you got to know him, you realized what a marshmallow he truly was. "Hey, Max, my man." Jenny held out her fist for a bump and chuckled when Maxwell stared down at it. "Still not up for fist bumping, huh?" He shook his head. Jenny laughed. Maxwell was kind of a geek and passionate about sports statistics. Truth be told, he loved all sorts of statistics. He was quiet, intense, and never socialized with the team, but he and Jenny got on fine. "Okay, let's go." She shoved her purse into her desk drawer. When they reached the main conference room, it was, of course, standing room only. She and Maxwell squeezed past the guy from legal who always smelled of oranges and sidled between a small group of chattering women from finance, until they leaned back against a small patch of wall near the credenza that dominated one end of the room. Opposite them, at the other end, were the five main board members, the head of HR and the head of legal. Adrian had a seat halfway down the long table on the right side, but try as Jenny might, she couldn't catch her eye. Maxwell leaned in.
"It won't be good news."
"What?" Jenny's heart rate picked up again. He shrugged.
"I looked back on all the previous all-staff meetings and analyzed what they revealed. In 87% of cases, it was to announce things that led to major changes in the business. In 11% of cases, it was even worse, leading to job reductions. Therefore, there is only a 2% chance this will be good news. Statistically speaking, those are small odds."
Before Jenny could thank him for making her feel so much better, the CEO brought the meeting to order by loudly tapping his pen on the table. The room fell silent. The CEO stood and glanced at his watch. He turned to the heads of HR and legal, and when they nodded, he looked over at a woman Jenny didn't recognize who stood in the doorway. When that woman, with a cell phone to her ear, gave him a thumbs up, the CEO faced the room.
"Everybody, thank you for clearing your calendars to be present right now. Today is an exceptional day in the history of TC Productions. A moment ago, it was announced to the markets that C&V Incorporated, who you have all heard of, I'm sure, will be acquiring TC Productions as of today."
Gasps and mutters spread around the room. It took a moment for his words to sink in, but then it dawned. Jenny turned to Maxwell, whose eyes were serious.
2% was very small odds."
He puffed out a long breath. "Shit."
Jenny blinked rapidly as she turned back to listen to the CEO once more. "I know this is probably a shock, but we truly believe this is the best way forward for the future of the company."
He tried a smile, but in the stony silence that greeted his words, it didn't last long. "For the company or for your bank balances?" The bitterness in the speaker's tone was crystal clear. Rita Lapham, the HR director, stepped forward, palms raised in a placating gesture. "I know this is not how you expected your day to end,
but let's try to keep it civil, shall we? Easy for you to say. The shout was from a woman standing in the corner opposite Jenny. I bet your job isn't on the line. Murmurs of agreement spread round the room like a wave. Oh, crap. Jenny pressed herself back into the wall, afraid her knees would give way. My job? What's going to happen to my job?
Are you okay?
Maxwell gazed at her with concern.
I have no idea.
She swallowed, with her fists clenched so tight she feared she'd crack a bone. So, how many of us will be out of work? The same woman called, this time stepping out from behind a group of people to face the room. I'm not at liberty to say right at this time, Lapham replied. But each of you will be invited to a meeting with a representative from my team to discuss what the next steps will be. But there will be job losses? The woman pressed. Jenny vaguely recognized her now as someone from marketing. Lapham glanced at the CEO, who gave her a short nod. Yes, she said, there will. A mix of gasps, cries, and loud curse words rumbled around the room. Once more, Lapham raised her hands. Please, stay calm. Wait until you hear from your HR representative. We hope to meet with everyone today, so I would ask you all to stay at your desks until you've been called. Please don't leave the building. Hear what we have to say. The CEO stepped up and said something in Lapham's ear, and she took that as her cue to step aside.
As Rita has said, it would be best if you all returned to your desks, he said. We'll be sending out more details once all of those meetings have taken place. So, please, could you now leave the room?
Jenny slammed the stall door closed behind her and sat on the toilet. By the faint sounds coming from the other two stalls, she wasn't the only one who sought solace in the one place you were unlikely to be interrupted. From the stall immediately to her left came faint sniffling sounds, and her heart ached for whoever emitted them. And from the stall farthest along the row came the sound of someone furiously tapping on a cell phone. Not ready to cry, and certainly not ready to share the news with anyone else, Jenny simply sat and stared at the back of the stall door. TC Productions had been sold, and neither she nor any of her peers had any idea at the moment what that meant for them. Would she have a job to come to in the morning or not? And if she didn't, what the hell would she do? It was like hanging onto a cliff edge, the stone crumbling beneath her fingers. Jenny's anger at the hopelessness of her situation surged, and she swallowed down the bile in her throat. I might be okay. It might be other teams that lose people. At least Adrian would be all right, leaving at the end of the month for her big move to California. Jenny's heart skipped a beat. She remembered how weird Adrian had been about telling her the all-staff meeting was scheduled and that she had to attend. Had Adrian known something? And if so, why hadn't she warned Jenny? She would have thought after all these years together she deserved better treatment than that. Her skin flashed hot and cold with anger, though a small part of her mind registered she was directing her fury for the situation at the wrong person. There was only one place she wanted to be. After exiting the restroom, she stomped along the hallway back toward her cubicle and veered left at the last moment to rap loudly on Adrian's door. At the tired, "Come in," she pushed the door open and stopped herself from slamming it behind her. Adrian was in her chair, but pushed back from her desk, with a single piece of paper in her left hand. Her head was propped in her right hand, and her arm leaned on the chair arm.
Jenny, I
don't. Jenny held up one hand as she marched into the center of the office. Adrian sighed and threw the piece of paper onto her desk.
Have a seat.
I don't want to sit.
Adrian's eyes narrowed.
Then at least have the courtesy to lower your voice.
The coldness in her tone brought Jenny up short, and she sucked in a breath, finally realizing how close her behavior was to insubordination. I'm sorry. Her shoulders slumped, and she pushed a hand through her hair in frustration. Please, sit down. This time, Adrian's tone was warm and understanding.
Jenny fought back tears. She sat on the comfy chair on the visitor side of Adrian's desk and exhaled, willing the tears to stay locked behind her eyelids. There was a short silence between them, and then Adrian said, "I found out late last night. All the senior managers like myself who hadn't been part of the negotiations were summoned to a meeting with the CEO and informed." She sighed. "They've been working on the deal for weeks. I'd been aware of late-night meetings, but just assumed it was all project-related. And I never heard a whisper from anyone in the industry that this was on the cards. I honestly didn't know. And even once I did, I couldn't say anything because they made us all sign non-disclosure agreements." Jenny leaned back in her chair and breathed slowly. No point staying angry with Adrian, given what she'd just heard. "I understand." Adrian's expression shifted to one of concern. "You'll hear it from HR soon, but yours is one of the jobs under threat. I'm very sorry. I'm not even supposed to tell you, but I don't care right now." Jenny's heart pounded and her stomach flipped. Shit. Indeed. What? Her mouth went dry. She swallowed and tried again. "What will happen to me?" "I'm not sure, exactly. Just that all production assistant jobs are up for review, as well as all admin-level posts and a handful of managers at my level." She shrugged. "They'll want to streamline and get economies of scale where they can. Buying TC is great for them. They've wanted to get more involved in sports, and this is an easy way for them to do that. But that doesn't mean everyone from TC will be happy." "I bet you're glad you're already leaving." Jenny couldn't help the hint of bitterness that crept into her tone. It was bad enough knowing she was losing Adrian as a mentor and manager. She'd never have imagined her own job would soon be at risk, too. "I can't lie. Yes, I am. I wouldn't want to get into a fight for a position, not now. In fact, I know I've made it easy for them in that respect. One less headcount to worry about." She hesitated for a couple moments. "Are you okay?" Jenny, who had been trying to get her erratic breathing under control, snorted. "No, not really. To be honest, I'm panicking." Her stomach did cartwheels. She wondered where the nearest drugstore was. She was in desperate need of some antacids. "Hey." Adrian stood and walked around her desk to place a comforting hand on Jenny's shoulder. "Please don't panic." Jenny exhaled three times, Adrian's warm hand still pressed into her shoulder. "I'm sorry for coming in all angry and, you know, shouting." "It's forgotten. It was understandable. And I'm sure you aren't the only one in their boss's office right now." Jenny nodded, her breathing calmer. "Probably not." She thought of the mystery woman crying in the stall next to her in the restroom. "God, people are going to lose their jobs. This is awful." Adrian backed away and sat against the edge of her desk. "It is. I've been through something like this once before, maybe 25 years ago. It's not pleasant." Before Jenny could respond, Adrian's phone rang. She glanced at the display and sighed. "Right, that's Harper from HR. I imagine she's looking for you. Did you get a chance to see when your appointment was for?" Jenny nibbled her bottom lip, her embarrassment at maximum. "No, just marched in here with my ass on fire." Adrian threw her a knowing look, then schooled her features as she picked up the phone. "Hi, Harper." "Yes, she's with me." "My bad. I wanted to talk to her after the staff meeting and lost track of time." Adrian shot Jenny a wink. Jenny clapped a hand over her mouth to stop her laugh escaping. "Yes, I'll send her up now." Adrian put the phone down. "You didn't have to lie, like..." Adrian held up a hand. "No harm in doing so. Now, at the risk of sounding like I'm telling you what to do, here's what you're going to do." Jenny rolled her eyes. Adrian smiled. "Stay calm. Listen to what she says without any arguing, even if you don't like what you're hearing. You're always better off with a job, even if it's not the perfect one. So don't do or say anything to jeopardize any chance you have of staying on. at least in the short term. She stopped, her cheeks red.
Good God, I sound like your mother.
Jenny's throat closed, and she had to swallow a couple of times before responding,
No, you don't. You sound like someone who cares, and I appreciate it.
Adrian's eyes went wide.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry. It was a figure of speech, and...
It's okay, don't worry. Jenny stood and straightened her shoulders.
Okay, I'm going to see what Harper has to say.
She paused. Thank you. For everything. And I don't just mean today. Adrian pushed away from the desk and motioned Jenny toward the door.
You've got this. I have every faith in you.
Thanks. I'll be gone by the time you come back down, so I'll catch up with you in the morning, okay? But call me later if there's anything you want to talk through.
I'll be fine, don't worry.
Jenny left Adrian's office, trying to believe her own words. Chapter 2. How are you? Adrian asked as Jenny walked into her office Friday morning, Adrian's usual coffee and her breakfast bag of a croissant and a fruit cup clutched in her hands.
You look tired.
Jenny knew Adrian was being polite.
She looked like shit.
Yeah, didn't sleep so well last night.
What did Harper say?
Adrian motioned Jenny to take a seat. Thankful to rest her weary body, Jenny slumped into the visitor's chair. She placed the coffee and breakfast bag on Adrian's desk.
The meeting was all right. I mean, she basically told me what you'd already said. My job's been put on the at-risk list, and this morning I meet my new boss and find out more about what's going to happen.
She willed her stomach to stop acting like a gymnastic event at the Olympics, but it was hard. Her nerves were literally eating her up about what would happen.
I mean, it's great they've organized that meeting so quickly, but I feel like a zombie. I'm so not ready to go play nice with the new people.
She huffed out a long breath.
This all just totally sucks.
It does indeed. Adrian tilted her head.
Have you eaten anything?
No, I'm too nervous.
They stared at each other for a moment.
I should get going. The meeting's in a few minutes. Jenny stood. Her head pounded from her lack of sleep, and painkillers were a necessity to survive what the morning had to offer.
Come see me afterwards?
I will. She huffed out a long breath and headed back to her cubicle. After locating the bottle of painkillers in her desk drawer, she downed two.
Jenny, are you ready?
Maxwell's voice made her jump in her seat and clutch her head at the unwelcome movement.
Please, for the love of everything good in this world, stop creeping up on me, Maxwell.
Are you sick?
He asked.
Kind of. I'm sorry.
She sighed. I'm sorry, too. I didn't mean to shout.
He shrugged.
You didn't. Are you ready?
No, but we need to do it anyway.
He turned away and walked toward the stairs to the next floor where the meeting rooms were situated. She trotted to catch up with him, and that didn't help matters with her thumping head. Maxwell entered the meeting room ahead of her. Once he'd moved out of the way, Jenny checked out who waited for them. The guy at the head of the table had to be, what's his name, the new production team manager she'd now report to. It would be so good if she could remember his name sometime very soon. Harper had told her, but in the shock of all that she'd heard, Jenny had completely forgotten it. On the opposite side of the table sat two immaculately presented women. They both looked a little older than Jenny. One was all blonde hair, dazzling smile, and way too much makeup, wearing a bright red blouse. The other woman, dressed in a dark brown blazer over a creamy silk top, was serious, her posture rigid. Her neatly cut brown hair curved around her neck, and her hazel eyes stared intently at Jenny and Maxwell.
Derek Flanagan, the new manager said as he stood, unwittingly saving Jenny from the embarrassment of having to ask his name.
His handshake was firm, and his face revealed nothing. He was pretty short, with a belly trying to tell him his shirts were a size too small. He clearly wasn't listening. Averting her eyes from the mass of flesh threatening to escape the straining buttons,
Jenny returned his handshake with equal firmness. Jenny Quinn. She inwardly winced at the slight wobble in her voice. Maxwell briefly shook Derek's hand and introduced himself. Derek motioned for them to take a seat.
First, introductions.
He gestured to the two women. Hi, I'm Christine Gillard, but you can call me Chrissy. The blonde spoke loudly, far too loudly for Jenny's poor head. She wasn't sure she'd covered her wince successfully, if the frown on the other, more serious woman's face was anything to go by. Then the serious one spoke.
Olivia Sinclair.
Much to Jenny's surprise, the woman's accent was British.
Do you go by Liv?
Jenny attempted a friendly smile. No point antagonizing the rivals on day one.
Certainly not.
Olivia gave Jenny a withering look, then turned her attention to Derek.
Oh, good. Great start.
Jenny slid an inch or so down in her seat.
So.
Derek leaned forward and clasped his hands together.
I know you've all been briefed by HR, but I wanted to give you some more detail and clarity on how this whole thing's going to go.
Jenny schooled her features and focused on his face. Harper had told her not to panic and to hear him out, and she knew that was all she could do, though her nerves were taut as bowstrings.
As you know, we're looking to have 3 production assistants in place under the new structure. Some managers might take a look at this situation and take one of the easy options.
He faced Jenny and Maxwell.
Option 1 is to keep our own C&V staff and let go one of you based on seniority or performance.
Jenny shifted in her chair and risked a quick glance at Maxwell. His mouth hung open. Derek turned to Chrissy and Olivia.
Option 2 is to immediately let one of you go because you're on short-term contracts.
Jenny blinked. Interesting.
But I don't work that way.
Derek held up his hands.
I firmly believe in people being given a job because they're the best one for it. Contract status, age, and length of service are all irrelevant.
His weak smile offered Jenny little comfort.
So here's what we're going to do. You'll all continue working on your current projects. But I've also got a great new project lined up, and I want all 4 of you working on it together. I'll assess how you work both individually and as a team, and at the end of this project, I'll make my decision on which one of you has to, unfortunately, leave us. The remaining 3 will then be given full-time permanent roles with C&V Incorporated.
Silence met his announcement. Jenny swallowed a couple of times as her tired brain worked to keep up. 4 of them being assessed for 3 jobs. 3 permanent jobs, which was something. But how the hell would this assessment process work? And what was this new project they had to work on together? Maxwell looked equally confused, which helped.
Any questions?
Derek asked. When can we start on this new project? Chrissy's voice was full of excitement. I'm so looking forward to this challenge. Jenny avoided rolling her eyes, but only just. To her surprise, a brief scowl crossed Olivia's face before she shut it down and returned to her impassive mask.
I'll send you all a meeting request for a project kickoff session, and you'll hear all about it then.
Derek turned to Jenny and Maxwell.
I think it would be best if you 2 moved over to our offices on Monday. I'll get 2 workspaces freed up for you this afternoon. Please clear out your desks and get your stuff transferred over, okay?
Jenny's stomach rolled. More change, more upheaval. She wanted nothing more than for some genie to appear, snap their fingers, and roll back time to a point where C&V did not want to buy TC Productions. Why couldn't things stay as they were? After the changes enforced on her by her parents 10 years ago, she'd built herself a new life. A calm and predictable one. She liked it that way. The emotional turmoil of anything else wasn't something she wanted to repeat. And yet, here she was again, having big change imposed on her. She didn't know if she wanted to cry or scream.
Do you think he could handle some food now?
Adrian said the minute Jenny walked back into her office. She leaned back in her chair and gazed at Jenny. Her
sample complete. Ready to continue?